You Can't Make It Up, show number 128 for Monday, January 31st, 2011. And Ken, you know, yesterday being Sunday, for many folks, Sunday is a day of worship. And I got to thinking, you know, the times we live in, you never know about tomorrow. And how'd you like to guarantee your slot in heaven if you believe in same?
Well, sure, why not? Why not?
Let's narrow it down. I want to talk to everybody else can leave the room. I want to talk to just you Catholics. Okay, did you see this, Ken?
Wait a minute, only two people left.
did you see this one? Pope blesses and warns about Facebook. Now, I got to thinking, and if you want to guarantee your place in heaven, now is the time to, if you're on Facebook, friend him. Friend the Vatican, you know? If you're on Twitter, follow him. Just follow him.
Why?
Pope Benedict the 16th gave a qualified blessing this past week to social media outlets like Facebook, but he urged folks not to let technology replace real human contact. Hey, Pope, I don't think you got to worry about that. There's a lot of human contact going on out there.
Yeah.
The 83-year-old pontiff urged his audience to ask themselves who their neighbors are in social media. We don't know, so he warned against being available online all the time. Now, stop right there, Pope. If people aren't online all the time, how are they going to hear You Can't Make It Up?
Well, that's a very good point.
Now, it turns out the Vatican has a new website. Ready? Write this down now. If you're a Catholic, you want to go there because, you know, there might be something in it for you in the hereafter after. Here's the URL, pope2u.net. That's Pope, the number two.
The number two,
you.net. Go there if you don't believe me. It's for real.
What? I thought it should be twopopescomedy.com.
Well, it could be when you hear the rest of this. Prominently, that website features access to an official Facebook app, lets you follow the Pope's latest activities now. They say, we have insiders there at the Vatican, that it won't be long before His Eminence has his own Facebook page. Now, I have a question.
Only one?
What if you friend him and he deletes you? What if he unfriends you? What is that saying? And proving that we are equal ecumenical disparagers this morning, the following, by the way, comes with our usual disclaimer. We're like Fox News. We just report, you decide.
Right.
Unlike Fox, as you know, we don't make it up. So if this offends anyone, well, I guess our work is done here. I just saw this last week, and we've got a picture out there on our website so you can see for yourself. It's true. We'll call this red-faced and redneck country. In its coverage of Sunday's AFC Championship game between the Steelers and the Jets, Louisville WLKY TV, channel, well, it doesn't matter. They're going to be off the air when this gets out there.
Yeah.
They embarrassingly had this bad typo on their chyron. The final score read across the screen, Pittsburgh Steelers 24, New York Jets 19.
Okay. No wonder they lost.
Yeah. There is no word yet on anyone losing their job over this. I'd say just shut down the station at this point.
Man, I still think twopopescomedy.com would be a great site.
Man, you can't make it up. They call themselves Liva, combining their first two names, Linda McLaughlin and Valerie Gurka. They are Liva. It's an original band. Their music stretches across multiple genres. They remind me, Ken, a lot. Although, you know, somewhat different, but they're Dala, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Linda and Valerie co-write all their own songs. Linda sings lead. The rest of the band, Tony Navarro on guitar, Steve Bonaccio on bass, Aaron Belinfante is the drummer, and Justin Flynn is on the sax, and Frank Steenkamp keyboards. You must check out their video. It introduces themselves to the music world. There's a great lesson in there for you indie artists who might be struggling with the eternal question, how come we ain't making any money? I think Liva's got this whole thing figured out, so we'll tell you more about them. They, by the way, have produced over 50 public service announcements for Stop Child Trafficking Now, an organization dedicated to address the demand side of child sex trafficking. So there's a link out there to the video, and it's livamusic.com is what you want to go to, and we'll tell you more about them in the coming weeks.
And if you look at the video, they are not unattractive.
Boy, they're not, no. And their music is slam dunk, too.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Did you see this out there?
Hi, I'm Craig Rowan. If you are not a millionaire or somebody who knows a millionaire, please feel free to turn this video off. It's not for you.
See
you.
Yeah,
this is
yeah,
for millionaires. Yeah. All right, millionaires, listen up. I have a proposition. Please give me $1 million. Now, you have millions and millions of dollars. Give me $1 million. I don't need it for anything specific, but I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, and so that got me thinking. Now, this is out there. We'll put a link out there to the video. And it got me thinking that if you can ask for, and apparently somebody's going to meet him in New York City.
Someone offered him $1 million, I know, yeah.
Yeah, to do what?
Well,
you like movies about gladiators.
Well, anyway, it got me thinking, you know, we need a sponsor.
Yes.
And if it's that easy, just ask.
Yeah.
Let's put it out there.
Sure.
Okay.
You know what they say? You know what they say in Sales Training 101? You lose every order you don't ask for.
You got to ask for the
order.
That's right. All right. So if you're a sponsor, and Ken, I understand you've compiled a short list of ideal, perfect sponsors for You Can't Make It Up.
Well, I have a few, and I think some of these would be very, very tied into our audience. And, of course, top of mind, Fitch and Carrero Bail Bonds. Remember Freddie Carrero, my local bail bondsman?
I love their slogan.
Going to jail is your business. Getting you out is ours.
You ring, we spring.
That's right. Is that not perfect for our audience?
That's our audience in a nutshell.
All right. You want another one? Okay. Now, we're not making any of these up. It's a company called Mini Choppers of Southern California. The website is minichopperssocal.com. And you know what they sell?
No.
Frames, kits, and completely assembled motorized bar stools.
There it is. I'm on the phone as soon as we finish the show.
That's right. They sell. They claim they are affordable motorized bar stool racers. And you can also get motorized coolers from them, too.
You're in California, right?
They are. Yeah. You want the phone number? You want the website?
Yeah. After the show, give us the website. Yeah.
No, the website is really long. But just go Mini Choppers, plural. Mini Choppers, SoCal, SOCAL.com. All right.
The happy cows are from out there, too.
Yes.
They're riding around in bar stools.
Yeah, which puts me in mind of another sponsor, that Swedish company, Duleval, maker of the cow wash. You want it.
There you go.
But I think this one is at the top of my list, because we said so many nice things about what happens there. TravelWisconsin.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're likely to sponsor us.
The official site of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, because, you know, we are so endeared to Wisconsin's folks.
They'll request that you do all the voice stuff.
That's
on
right.
That because
now, this was a toss-up, because I was also considering the local business consortium that used to be known as Wisconsin Tourism Federation. Yep. Which, of course, they had to change their name and didn't want to be known anymore as WTF. So, but that's my short list. How about you?
I just want to point this out.
Yeah.
That as of this morning at 5 a.m., You Can't Make It Up is now heard by 10,000 unique listeners every month. So,
yes.
Mr. Sponsor, ask yourself, shouldn't your brand be associated with stupid stuff?
Well, now, we could have phrased that a bit differently, but...
That's our slogan, and we're sticking to it.
Positioning is so important in advertising.
Hey, this is Neve.
KG here.
And I'm Nikki. Together we are...
Lily Sparks.
And you're listening to Stars.
Wait, when did that happen?
When did what happen?
Toucans are like okay, but Stars, aren't they from the 70s?
Yeah, didn't they break up years ago?
Girls, can we focus here? I'm talking about our song, Stars, off our debut EP, Cooper Cobra.
Oh, right.
No, that's more like it. Too many shows with my amp on 11.
What?
Oh, geez, here we go.
You can't make it up.
This show is available only at toucanscomedy.com, except no substitutes. You can email us if you feel so inclined. If you absolutely must, feedback at toucanscomedy.com. And can I understand that proving yet again that state government doesn't attract the best and the brightest?
Oh, man, you know, and this is like the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, every day there's something like this. But anyway, over in the state of Utah, which is now becoming my second favorite state to talk about after Wisconsin, they are in the state legislature in Utah considering whether to designate a semi-automatic pistol as the official gun of Utah. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, we do need an official gun for every state should have one.
Semi-automatic pistol. Now, the gun in question is the Browning M1911, and State Representative Carl Wimmer says that they should have that gun as their official state symbol because it was to honor John Browning, who was a Utah native who invented the gun in 1911, all right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm wondering, you know, why do they need a state gun? They have an official state tree, a state hymn, a state folk dance, and they even have a state cooking pot. The Dutch oven. I'm not making this up.
Okay.
So as you like to say, this got me to thinking. Always a dangerous proposition. What about some of the other states and some of the things that they consider official stuff?
Okay.
And this is all real. I looked this up, and let me give you another short list. Now, here in Connecticut, where I live, we have an official state fossil.
Yeah, it's the governor.
Yeah. Thank you. Now, come on now. The large three-toed dinosaur track. All right. Now, you, in your state of Maine, you know what you have? You have an official state drink. Did you know that?
Yeah, we do.
The Moxie.
Moxie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about the Moxie. What do you know about the Moxie?
It's thicker than molasses. Mm-hmm. It's Coca-Cola for people who've got a strong stomach is what it is.
That's right. In fact, it was invented before Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And their slogan, Moxie makes Mainers mighty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So man up. Have a Moxie.
Yeah, especially the Super Bowl Sunday coming up. Hey, I'll have a Moxie and...
and run that ad back-to-back with GoDaddy.
Maryland has an official state exercise, walking.
Yeah, a lot of that going on in Maryland.
Yeah, Minnesota has an official state muffin, the blueberry muffin.
Who is she?
Why do they need one? and in fact, Virginia has the same state muffin, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
North Carolina has an official state blueberry. You know what it is?
What is it?
The blueberry.
There you go. It's the official state blueberry, not to be confused with those ordinary blueberries.
You like this one. Ohio has an official state rock song. Well, you know, in the whole universe of rock songs, you'd think they, well...
Is it Four Dead in Ohio?
Oh, no, it's actually...
Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
It's actually Hang On, Sloopy.
Hang on.
Why, I don't know. Hawaii has an official state fish, and I can't pronounce it, but I'm going to spell it for you, all right? HUMUKUNUKUAPUA.
Can't you just shorten and say, hey, you?
Well, I was going to say F you, but...
What is it?
I have no idea. It's their fish. What do I tell you?
It's, you know, by the time you spell it for somebody, the thing is dead.
They've moved on, yes. And here's my official state anything from any state. From New Mexico, they have an official state question.
What is the answer?
Well, what's the question?
I don't know.
It's red or green. And you know why they ask that?
No.
Apparently, all across New Mexico, in restaurants, patrons are asked whether they want red or green chilies with their meals. That's the official state question.
There are a couple states down south where the answer to that question is, I don't know which light I'm supposed to stop at.
Well, down south, I'm sure some state's going to adopt this airstate question. Paper or plastic? You know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that. Like, you can't make stuff up.
Listen, we have an early entry for the official sponsor for You Can't Make It Up. Ready?
The Jägermeister Music Tour featuring Buck Cherry with special guests. Hell yeah. All that remains of the damn thing. February 16th, Mohegan Sun Arena. The Jägermeister Music Tour. Tickets on sale now. For tickets, visit the Mohegan Sun box office. Any Ticketmaster or letter, go to Ticketmaster.com. Buck's Jägermeister is dedicated to music, not underage drinking. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume. Imported by Sydney Frank Importing Company, New Rochelle, New York. Drink responsibly. Must be at least 21 to receive prizes. Void where prohibited by law.
Huh?
Hello?
What'd he say?
I have no clue.
Something about the Jägermeister tour.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah.
Well, that's all we need, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You're touring no matter where you go. Okay, can we get back to the serious stuff
okay,
now?
Okay, fine.
You ever heard the German word Splotnov?
No, I can't say that.
Splotnov? I think the German translation is never trust your GPS.
Okay, whoops.
This is, I saw this on Reuters. Two British pensioners, that means they're past it, landed, that's how the Brits say it, they landed in hospital in southern Germany after their car's global positioning system directed them to drive into a church. While driving their Renault in the evening on a back road near the Austrian border, the GPS, the voice, instructed them to turn right, and there was no road there. So a police spokeswoman said they were confused and didn't notice that the navigation system was faulty. So the 76-year-old driver plows into the side of the village church. Demolishes the car, knocks a picture off the wall, damages the building's foundation. Total damage is, I don't know, in 25,000 euros. What's that, 12 bucks in U.S.?
Maybe. Oh. Yeah, about that now.
Police in a nearby town of Immenstadt said the couple were traveling to France and got a bit confused. They spent the evening in hospital recuperating. There were minor injuries, so, you know, we can laugh about this. But what would possess someone? I mean, they're not 106, 76. You still have your faculties, presumably. So the voice said, turn right. You can do everything it says? Wouldn't you look for a road? Wouldn't you? I mean...
Well, it said turn right, officer.
Our buddy Nick up in Canada, our great white North correspondent, he sent this one by email. It's from the land down under. He saw it on the Aussie site AdelaideNow.com. A man from Seaford, Australia, made life a little too easy for South Coast police. He did everything but arrest himself. This would be in your moment of duh.
Oh, yeah.
The 49-year-old, whose name was not reported, and by now we all know why when they don't report it, he drove to Christie's Beach Police Station to pay for a defect to be cleared from his car. Apparently they have an inspection system like they do in the United States here. And the cop stopped him for something, a muffler, whatever. And so he had to pay, unlike, you know, you got to go get it fixed. So he goes to pay for the defect, and he loses his license, and they impound his car. Now you probably ask why. Well, it wasn't for failing to bring enough money to pay the bribe.
Hey.
Defect clearance fee. Now, the cops asked him to submit to a breath test, suspecting he was intoxicated.
For sure.
The guy blew a .216, more than four times the legal limit in Aussieville.
Oops. Yeah. Wait. They have a legal limit there?
Yeah, he was down under. The drunk driving arrest cost him his license for 12 whole months. They have his car now, and they ain't giving it back. By the way, Nick sent a personal note. Mm-hmm. Hey, Kens, my sister loved the show. My sister was visiting here in Canada from Australia, and you may have gained some listeners there. She heard the show that Nick was on.
Oh, yeah.
P.S., I look forward to a battle of wits with Larry from Georgia one of these days.
Battle of wits. They're both going to come to the table unarmed.
Hey, Larry. I think that's a challenge there, son.
Man.
What do you got?
Once again, America's purveyors of food and beverages are out to kill us. And well, I thought as a public service, we should alert you to some of the killers. Because after all, as you know, here on You Can't Make It Up, we're nothing if not helpful.
You drive a truck through that pause.
Anyway, Yahoo Health has come up with a list of, I won't give you the whole list, but they came up with a list of the 20 worst sandwiches in the U.S. I'm just going to give you a couple of these. But take notes, folks. We'll start out with the Blimpy 12-inch BLT Superstacker, 1,270 calories, 82 grams of fat, as much saturated fat as in 18 strips of bacon.
But, yeah, good.
Yeehaw. How about the Quiznos large, I emphasize large, double cheese steak? 1,450 calories, as many calories as if you had eaten 7 Krispy Kreme glazed donuts.
Why not just eat the whole cow? It's those California happy cows.
Yeah. The Chili's jalapeno smokehouse burger with ranch dressing.
They were featured in Blazing Saddles, weren't they?
1,780 calories, more than 2 days worth of fat and sodium, the equivalent of eating 12 White Castle sliders.
Oh, boy.
And, according to Yahoo Health, the worst sandwich in America goes to the Cheesecake Factory, Grilled Shrimp and Bacon Club. 1,890 calories, 24 grams of saturated fat, the caloric equivalent of eating 7 McDonald's hamburgers.
And then wash it down with one of their New York strawberry official style cheesecakes.
Nice segue, because what I have also for you is something to wash these killer sandwiches down. And this from Women's Health magazine. They have a list of the worst drinks in America. And I'm just going to give you a few.
Yep.
The worst water you can buy from Snapple. Yes, the best stuff on earth is the worst. The 20-ounce melon antioxidant water has as much sugar as 2 Good Humor chocolate eclair bars.
Wow.
How about the worst soda in America? The 20-ounce sun-kissed orange drink. As much sugar as 6 Breyers ice cream sandwiches.
Holy... And there are people out there consuming this stuff.
They think it's orange. It must be good for you. Guess what, folks?
Yeah.
How about the worst beer?
Oh, there's no such thing.
You think so? I kid you not. Sierra Nevada Bigfoot Beer. Now, if the name doesn't gross you out, it has as many carbs as a 12-pack of Michelob Ultra. Worst kids drink. The 20-ounce Tropicana Tropical Fruit Fury Twister. 10% juice. 90% sugar-laden liquid. As much sugar as 2 7-ounce cans of Ready Whip. Worst frozen coffee.
Now wait. Jimmy and Jill are out there bouncing around the walls.
Yeah. Well, then they'll want to have the worst espresso drink you can buy from Starbucks.
Yeah.
20-ounce venti peppermint white chocolate mocha with whipped cream. As much sugar as 8.5 scoops of Edie's slow-churned, rich and creamy coffee ice cream. Now, the worst smoothie. The 40-ounce, yes, 40 ounces, yeah. Smoothie King Peanut Butter Power Plus Grape. As much sugar as 20 Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Why do they need the grape? And now, drumroll fanfare, the worst beverage in all of America, according to Women's Health magazine.
Survey says?
Yes. The 24-ounce Cold Stone PB&C Gotta Have a Drink, which has as much saturated fat as 68 strips of bacon, and as much sugar as 30 chewy Chips Ahoy cookies.
Feeds a family of 6 for at least 2 hours.
Unless you're down south.
If you see me coming your way, better give me plenty space. If I tell you that I'm hungry, then won't you feed my face? Because I'm fat, I'm fat, show me.
Really, really fat.
You know I'm fat, I'm fat. You know
really,
it.
Really fat.
You know.
Are you still alive?
I'm telling you. If people were making a list of these,
yep,
they would become, well, listen, just listen back. Next time you're going to take the family out for a meal, pick any one of these places. You can't go right.
You know what? If you wanted to, I mean, I don't want to, you know, condone this, but let's say you were a, you wanted to get rid of your spouse.
No.
Yes. Take her out.
Stick her in the glop-a-da-glop-a-da machine.
Get her a 40-ounce smoothie.
Man. Hey, listen, let's switch gears now that you've handled the dietary and health needs of America. Let's help those who are out of work.
Oh, okay.
Stay out of work.
Yeah, please. I mean,
if you're searching for a job, you know it's awfully tough out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, but what if you don't really want to work? We've got some ways for you to blow the job interview big time. We found these on the Boston Globe online site, boston.com. You know, you're supposed to exhibit your best behavior in a job interview, right?
Is that right? I didn't know that. Well, that explains a lot of things over the last 30 years.
Even in a sucky economy, not everybody gets the memo. Many, it seems, just can't help but show their true selves. Here's a new career builder survey of more than 2,400 hiring managers and what they reported from job interviews. Among the really outrageous actions, one manager reported that a job seeker ate all the candy from the candy dish while answering questions.
Oh, very nice.
And then asked to fill it up again.
Yeah.
Hey, when hunger calls.
That's right.
Another person sitting at the table being interviewed blew her nose and lined up the used tissues in front of her. Well, she lined them up. At least she's neat. How about the guy who wore a hat to the chat and what it said across the hat? Take this job and shove it. Another dude, just before coming inside, tossed his beer can in the trash can.
Very good idea.
And then came in for the, Here's my favorite. The candidate who brought in a copy of his college diploma, but it was obvious that liquid whiteout had been used to put his name on the document.
Jeez.
A few of the more egregious things job candidates did to people off managers. Arrived for the interview accompanied by a parent.
Okay.
This takes place every single day.
Mm-hmm.
We have friends in HR at a big company.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who tell us amazing stories about, you know, sitting there with a mom and dad and the person looking for a gig. Here's another one. Answered every question only after referring to a detailed binder of notes. So how long have you been out of work? Hang on, let me check.
Yeah, right.
Here's one. She said her favorite pastime is to walk around in her pajamas and do nothing. One of them, at the end of the job interview, hugged the hiring manager. Just hugged them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little love. Here's another one. And I'll bet you this happens a lot. Talked about how an affair had cost her the previous job. An affair at work. Yeah. So, see, these are all, now, if you want, if you're a manager looking for the best and the brightest, and we'll send you a list of how to get in touch with these people.
Don't look for state legislators.
No.
You put me in mind of something I read almost a year ago. I never used it, but there was a similar thing in the Wall Street Journal where they interviewed hiring managers and stuff, and there were two of them that stood out. One of them, the job applicant, after the interview, asked the interviewer if he would take him out to lunch, the applicant. Are you kidding me?
Now, the interviewer was a female, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, it was female, yes.
So he was basically asking for a date and wanted her to pay.
He was asking for a free lunch, literally.
Oh, yeah. There's no free lunch in America.
And another guy brought in his job, his resume. It was like crossouts and typos, and handed it to the HR person and said, hey, you have people there who can fix that, right?
And these people aren't joking, folks.
No, they think it's the right thing to do, you know?
Yeah. Does the word clueless.
Yeah.
Anyway, as those of you who are regular listeners, if you can't make it up, know that we finish our show with my compadre here doing his moment of duh.
Yes, I do have a moment of duh for you, and also a tip. This is not a criminal thing. It's just an ordinary, everyday life tip. If you get really angry because your car is about to be towed, here's the tip. Don't take your anger out on your car. Now, I actually have, this is from across the pond. Usually that's your territory. You don't mind if I step across the line, do you?
No, go ahead. Sure.
Over in Devon, this is reported in the Herald Express. Anyway, a gentleman over there in Devon, he didn't get this little bit of advice or didn't take it seriously. His name is Scott Smithers. He's 27 years old, and here's what happened. He and his fiancée were out on their way to a local watering hole, and they parked the car and went inside for a drink. Or, as you will see, turns out maybe two or three or four or a lot more drinks. Anyway, so when they were done, they left the bar, and to the dismay of Mr. Smithers, he found that his car had been clamped. Now, you know what that means?
Yeah, they put a boot on it.
Yeah, okay, now we have to be careful here, because this is in the UK, so when you say boot, that's the trunk of a car.
It is?
It is, yeah. I'll get to that in a moment. Anyway, so this clamp is on the tire, which means, of course, you can't drive the car away. And that's what the traffic authorities usually do if you have, like, a lot of outstanding tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, Mr. Smithers had apparently over 20 unpaid tickets, and he was about to pay the price, so to speak. And that set him off into a rage. And might I add, a drunken rage. According to the prosecutor, Mr. Smithers took an axe. He had an axe in the car. He took the axe, tried to break the clamp with the axe, and he couldn't do that. That failed. So he did the next logical thing.
He gave his Honda 40 wax.
Okay, the second next logical thing.
Okay.
He tried to set his car on fire.
Oh, for the insurance money.
I don't know. So he got a gas can out of the trunk, which the British call the boot, opened the hood, which the British call the bonnet, extracted some gas, which, of course, the British call what? Petrol. So they poured the petrol into the can, poured the contents of the can inside his car. There wasn't a lot of petrol, so to get the fire really going, he rolled up some newspaper and lit it and tossed it in the back seat.
This is what the British call a sticky weekend,
right,
Walt.
Right. His fiance tried to stop him. He wouldn't listen. She left. Firefighters came by. And Smithers was arrested, and he said later in the police report, he said later, it was fun to see firemen putting the fire out. And then he added, my brain ended up being an idiot. Really?
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Shazam, shazam. Yeah.
I wonder where his stepmother is. Is that in the deep south of England? I
mean, he qualifies to, you know, he can come to this country and do a seminar and
yeah.
this stuff. Hey, that's going to do it for the extra family size edition of
yeah, the double
You
count.
Can't Make It Up. That's going to do it for January. Don't forget, if you're a sponsor looking for a great show, shouldn't your brand be associated with stupid?
And remember, we
have two of them right here.
We have 10,000 unique listeners.
Yeah, stupid. A month. Every month, we get a new 10,000.
Oh, man, they are unique.
Yeah. So anyway, on our way out, let's say goodbye with Liva, Linda, and Valerie. And this is Be the Question. From the EP, Not Yet. We'll see you next week.
Can you tell me what is the answer? You're not sure yet.
You Can't Make It Up is a Penguin Pods production. Look for us at 2kenscomedy.com.
I ain't got time. Sure, you never know.